elevator going up.
You're listening to WGXC Acra, Hudson, Catskill, 90.7 FM.
Network, this is the news. This is the network. This is the news. This is the network. Network.
I'm Tom Rowe in Acra, and you've tuned into the WGXC Morning Show. Today we're going to hear from Bob Cohen of Citizen Action about how to comment on New York's new draft climate scoping plan, the climate bill they hope to slow global warming in New York. We'll also hear the national headlines from the Public News Service and the local Better Weather from the Catskill Maker Syndicate. And it all begins after the local news, which is next on the WGXC Morning Show. Stay tuned.
This is the network, network, on air, in air, waves, controlled, on air, in air, channel, connection, and the moon turns to blood. A stream runs through, this is the network, network, this is the news, this is the network, this is the news, this is the network, network, this is the news, this is the network. This is the news. This is the network. Network. And the moon turns to blood. A stream runs through. And the moon turns to blood. This is the network. Network. And the moon turns to blood. A stream runs through. And the moon turns to blood. This is the network. Network.
This is the news.
This is the network.
This is the news.
This is the network.
Sunday, July 3rd, world-renowned harpist Mary Lattimore performs at the Colony Cafe in Woodstock at 8 p.m., and you can find out all about the event on the WGXC community calendar online at WGXC.org. Lattimore has played harp on records with Kurt Vile, Thurston Moore, Sharon Van Etten, Meg Baird, and many others, and comes from Los Angeles to Woodstock on Sunday, July 3rd at the Colony Cafe at 8 p.m. Go to WGXC.org in the community calendar to find out more about this event and many others.
WGXC underwriting support is provided by the First Presbyterian Church of Hudson, a faith community open to all. Whether you are single, married, divorced, gay, wealthy, poor, or no habla inglés, if you are just browsing, just woke up, or just got out of jail, it doesn't matter if you work on Wall Street or if you sleep on Wall Street. You belong. We love soccer moms, crying babies, vegans, hipsters, seekers and doubters, tourists and locals. All are welcome. Services held Sunday mornings at 10:45 a.m. You can find us on the web at firstpreshudson.org.
WGXC is made possible in part by the generous ongoing support of Round Top Productions in Round Top, New York. WGXC's sustaining supporters are among the station's most dedicated listeners. They care deeply about creative community radio, and their investment helps to sustain WGXC as a public platform for information, experimentation, and engagement in Greene and Columbia counties. You, too, can become a sustaining supporter by going to wgxc.org/donate. Thank you for your support.
We interrupt this broadcast to bring you a special news bulletin.
Stay tuned to this station.
Stand by for news.
Direct via satellite from our on-the-spot task force.
Good evening from our newsroom in New York.
This is
Daily News and Weather Report.
From the WGXC newsroom, this is the WGXC Hands-On Radio News Update. I'm Philip Grant.
This is Tom Rowe. You can go to the newsroom at WGXC.org for more information about anything you hear here. Nick Reisman reports for New York State of Politics that absentee ballots cast in New York will not be rejected or voided because of stray marks or writing under a new law signed June 24th by Governor Kathy Hochul. The intent of the voter would have to be clear and unambiguous in order for the ballot to be upheld, Hochul said. Quote, no ballot should be disqualified because of a single errant pen stroke, and the legislation we're signing today marks a major step forward to ensure New Yorkers' unambiguous votes are counted, unquote. State election law requires that ballots be marked in the space where a voter is casting their vote as their candidate of choice. Stray marks or stains can occur, leading to the rejection of the ballot as a result. But the law approved by Hochul will allow for the vote to be counted as long as the intent is clear. Close election contests often come down to absentee ballots that have been cast. The use of absentee balloting has increased over the last 2 years amid the COVID-19 pandemic. New York voters last year rejected a constitutional amendment that would have permanently allowed for no excuse absentee balloting. Read more about this story at NewYorkStateOfPolitics.com.
Andrea Mako reports for Porcupine Soup that there is another proposal for a commercial solar farm in Greene County, this one in the town of Greenville, this time on the Freehold Flats. Stella Solar, LLC of Denver, Colorado, under the name of East Durham Solar, LLC, on May 25th, asked for a special use permit and site plan approval application to the town of Greenville Planning Board for a solar farm at 9139 State Route 32. The company wants to generate 493.8 kilowatts on about 6 acres of a 40-acre parcel on the west side of State Route 32 along the Catskill Creek. The application states, and I quote, "The PV panels proposed for this project are single-axis tracking. Panels containing cadmium telluride will not be used for this project. The racking system, generally composed of aluminum, will be pile-driven into the ground surface. The solar panels will be directly interconnected to provide energy to the local electric distribution grid via an overhead electrical service. Prior to utility interconnection, direct current, DC, electrical power generated by the solar panels will be transformed to AC power and modified as necessary to connect to the local electrical supply. The project will also include an equipment pad, a gravel access road, a vegetative soil cover, and it will be surrounded by an 8-foot agricultural security fence with wood posts," end quote. The Greenville Planning Board meets the first Wednesday of every month at 7 p.m. And you can read more about this story at Porcupine Soup.
Mid-Hudson News is reporting how biologists from the State Department of Environmental Conservation's Hudson River Fisheries Unit annually study the endangered adult Atlantic sturgeon when the fish return to the Hudson River to spawn. Atlantic sturgeon is the largest fish species in the Hudson River estuary. They are anadromous, which means they hatch in fresh water, spend most of their lives in salt water, and then return to fresh water to spawn. Atlantic sturgeon can live more than 60 years, reaching a weight of 800 pounds and a length of 14 feet. They are armored with bony plates, evidence of a lineage going back to the age of dinosaurs. Sturgeon are bottom feeders, eating chiefly worms, insects, crustaceans, and small fish. During the annual study, the fisheries crew set nets to catch the sturgeon, carefully moving the fish from the nets into a large pen in the Hudson tied to the boat. Crew members then weigh and measure each fish, determine its sex, and scan them for an electronic tag called a PIT tag. If no tag is detected, a crew member inserts one into the base of the dorsal fin. Sturgeon are immediately released back into the Hudson River as soon as they are examined. The tags can be scanned to help learn more about sturgeon movement and behavior. Atlantic sturgeon are known to migrate as far south as Georgia and as far north as Canada's Bay of Fundy. The Hudson River currently supports the largest population of Atlantic sturgeon along the Atlantic coast, estimated to be between 1,000 and 1,500 fish. Read more about this story at MidHudsonNews.com.
Steve Barnes is reporting for the Times-Union that after 38 years in New Lebanon, the Theater Barn has suspended the current season as audiences aren't attending shows in the same numbers as before the pandemic, according to Alan Phelps, whose parents founded the company. Phelps said, and I quote, "It's not so much a money issue as it is people just not coming out," end quote. In 2019, the Theater Barn had 110 subscribers, but this year just 36. The Theater Barn at 654 Route 20 opened this season with the David Mamet play Boston Marriage and is showing Fiddler's Three by Agatha Christie through July. Four other shows scheduled for this summer are now on hold. Phelps predicted the Theater Barn will be back, end quote. He added, and I quote, "This isn't just about the Theater Barn. Smaller theaters all over are having the same problem. Sometimes 10 to 12 people in the audience when it used to be full, end quote. Read more about this story in the Times Union.
Natasha Von Holdridge reports for Columbia Green Media that Columbia and Greene counties are the recipients of funding to provide jobs this summer for disadvantaged youth. The state of New York has made available $46 million to provide training and employment as part of its summer youth employment program. Columbia County will receive $110,582, and Greene County will receive $115,533. An estimated 19,000 youth from low-income families statewide will participate this year, according to Governor Kathy Hochul's office. The program introduces the participants into the labor market so they can develop useful skills that will help them improve school performance and become responsible adults. It supports communities in creating summer jobs for youth, including communities where youth are vulnerable or susceptible to gun violence. Participants work in entry-level jobs at places such as parks, nursing homes, summer camps, child care organizations, senior citizen centers, and community recreation centers, and more. To be eligible, participants must be 14 to 20 years old and have a household income below 200% of the federal poverty line, or $46,060 for a family of three. Interested young people are encouraged to contact their local Department of Social Services. Read more about this story at HudsonValley360.com.
Mid-Hudson News reports that the town of Catskill is getting a $10.2 million in long-term interest-free financing to improve its water quality. The money from the State Environmental Facilities Corporation will go to plan, design, and construct a wastewater collection and conveyance system for the newly formed Leeds and Jefferson Heights Sewer District. Plus, it will also pay for installing mechanical screening at the village-owned wastewater treatment plant. A $3.15 million grant was previously authorized for the project. Residents in Catskill often report brown water, and water main breaks have also plagued the town. It is unclear whether this loan and grant will address those problems. And you can read more about this story at Mid-Hudson News.
And that wraps up the WGXC Hands-On Radio News Update. For local weather reports, public meetings, and other community information, use the WGXC website, WGXC.org. From the WGXC Newsroom, I'm Philip Grant. Have a good day.
I'm Tom Rowe in Agro with the WGXC Renewable Weather Forecast. And each day we start off bringing you the lowest price of fossil fuels in Greene County, according to Gas Buddy. That's $4.86 a gallon at the Citgo in South Cairo, according to Gas Buddy. Then we head next to look at the air quality, and it's gotten worse on Monday. 54 is in the moderate category, and people who are unusually sensitive to ozone should consider reducing prolonged or heavy outdoor exertion. National Weather Service in Albany predicts Monday showers are likely and possibly a thunderstorm before 1 p.m., and a slight chance of showers in the afternoon with cloudy skies gradually becoming mostly sunny for the solar panels, with a high of 75 and a southwest wind 6 to 9 miles per hour spinning local windmills. Monday night should be mostly clear with a low around 52 and a northwest wind 6 to 10 miles per hour. Then Tuesday should be sunny with a high of 72 and a northwest wind 5 to 7 miles per hour spinning those windmills. Tuesday night mostly clear is the forecast with a low around 52. And then Wednesday should be sunny with a high of 78 and a low around 55. You're listening to the radio, WGXC 90.7 FM, Acre, Catskill, Hudson, solar-powered radio for open ears. Tune in Monday, June 27th to all sorts of creative community voices on the air at WGXC, including at 9 a.m. Hear from Bob Cohen from the group Citizen Action, explaining how citizens can comment on New York's proposed climate law. 10 a.m. hop on the Afrosonic Taxi, tracks this week from Herencia de Tumbuki, Burkina Aza, and Katie Diarra, among others. At 11 a.m., Brendan Donegan is playing favorites live from the WGXC Hudson studio in the basement of the First Presbyterian Church. will feature the music of Milton Nascimento on until noon, when it's time for the Deep Three show after the local news, with music from Laurie Anderson, Meredith Monk, and Sarah Manning, among others. At 3 p.m., Jerome Cooper is the featured artist on Roulette Intermedium's Tracking the Odds show. At 7 p.m., it's time for Law and Disorder. And at 8 p.m., Rob Van Irv hosts the Everything All the Time music show on 90.7 WGXC.
Get a local event mentioned on All Together Now. Go to WGXC.org and click on Add an Event at the top of the page. And copy and paste the information about your event in the boxes. Let's all get involved in our community. See what's going on at WGXC.org in the community calendar.
You can find all about the Hudson-based circus, the Bindlesif Family Circus, on the WGXC community calendar. They're hosting the Bindlesif Circus's Summer of Joy 2022 in Hudson, with five different programs for youth ages 6 through young adults, including circus art intensives for youth and participation in the Hudson Black Arts and Cultural Festival parade. Also work on costume design and fabrication. They host the Hudson Juggling Club at Waterfront Wednesdays in Hudson, and a restorative justice facilitation training with the Hudson Youth Center and the Restorative Center of Newburgh. These programs run from June 29th to August 24th. You can find out more on the WGXC community calendar online at wgxc.org.
Hi, Laura Kuhn here, director of the John Cage Trust, bringing you a deep dive into the intriguing life and work of Renaissance man John Cage, celebrated composer, poet, philosopher, chess pupil of Marcel Duchamp, life partner of Merce Cunningham, macrobiotic chef, exponent of Zen, visual artist, and avid and pioneering mycologist. Tune in to All Things Cage, 7 p.m. Saturdays beginning January 2nd, for conversations with Cage experts and enthusiasts from around the world, right here at Wave Farms WGXC 90.7 FM, radio for open ears, and via the web at wavefarm.org.
Hello and welcome to the better weather for Monday, June 27th. We are 48.7% of the way through the year. We have 87 days left until fall. Early morning temperatures range from 66 degrees in West Durham to 71 in Germantown. Soil temperature has risen to 69 degrees. This morning, the region will see a cold front move through, dropping rain that will range from isolated to scattered with some potentially heavy rainfall. The bulk should be gone by 1 p.m. and the rest will be out by 4 p.m., which is when we will see a high of 82. Overnight, comfortable sleeping weather returns and we see a low of 55 degrees. Tomorrow will be dry with light wind and a high of 77. Overnight, we hit 54 degrees, then bounce back up to a sunny 82 degrees on Wednesday. Thursday looks very much the same with a high of 84. Pollen levels for today will be low. Today's tide schedule is high tide at 2:33 a.m., low tide at 9:20 a.m., high tide again at 3:03 p.m., then low tide once again at 9:11 p.m. Today's river temperature will be 73 degrees. Sunset today will be at 8:21 p.m., sunrise tomorrow will be at 5:18 a.m. Looking way up, we see a possible incoming coronal mass ejection could land late tomorrow, but analysts don't know exactly which direction it's traveling in, so we'll keep you updated. Solar wind speed is currently 555 kilometers per second at 1.3 protons per milliliter. Radio propagation conditions are currently terrible till dark, then fair across the board overnight. The 24-hour predicted KP index is 4, unsettled. The current sunspot number is 33, and this has been The Better Weather, brought to you by the Catskill Makers Syndicate.
Wave Farms WGXC is made possible in part by the generous ongoing support of Leah Bertucci of Ridgewood, New York. WGXC's sustaining supporters are among the station's most dedicated listeners. They care deeply about creative community radio, and their investment helps to sustain WGXC as a public platform for information, experimentation, and engagement in Greene and Columbia counties. You too can become a sustaining supporter by going to wgxc.org/donate and designating an amount of your choosing. Thank you for your support.
Early Electromix is a series to document the history of experimental electronic music from the 50s to the 80s. Pioneers who paved the way for what was to become techno, ambient, electronica, and most of what we are listening to. Essential Culture on air every Tuesday from 11 to 12 a.m.
Support comes from support for
United Airlines. United provides
support for NPR
in cities like Boston, New York, and Washington, D.C.
Underwriting today is provided
United Airlines,
by
Mother Nature, and music.
Jutus Juice Bar Blend, and by Whitney Farms, producers of a complete line of
public radio.
.com.
United provides just another way.
National Business Radio is rising.
National Public Radio.
National Business Radio
comes from
United Airlines,
Borders, Books, and Music.
Jutus Juice Bar Blend.
United provides just another way.
National Business Radio is rising.
Public Radio.
National Public Radio.
Nonstop Business
Radio. .com.
Public
Radio.
Nonstop Business.
Underwriting today is provided by Inktomi. That's Inktomi Scaling.
National Public Radio.
INKTOMI.com.
National Public Radio.
National Public Radio.
Nonstop Business
Radio. .com.
Public
Radio. National Public Radio.
Nonstop Business
Radio. Should be
tips.
Public Radio.com. Soil Amendments and Mulches.com.
National Public Radio. Radio.
Public
Radio. National Public Radio.
Nonstop Business
Radio.
Public Radio.
Well, lots of pretty good news there. Thanks, Joe. That report brought to you by
NationalBusinessRadio.com.
Did you know that one of the definitions of broadcast is tossing seeds? That's what farmers used to do, was broadcast every spring. Here is Superchunk with Seed Toss.
We'll be right back.
Welcome to 2022 Talks, where we're following our democracy in historic times. No! Demonstrations continued all weekend after the Supreme Court overturned Roe v. Wade. In Iowa, a truck barreled through a crowd of abortion rights protesters. In Arizona, demonstrators were tear-gassed by police. The Department of Homeland Security is warning of rising threats against judges and state officials. Massachusetts Democratic Senator Elizabeth Warren called for expanding the Supreme Court.
This court has lost legitimacy. They have burned whatever legitimacy they may still have had after their gun decision, after their voting decision, after their union decision. They just took the last of it and set a torch to it.
Expansion would give President Joe Biden the chance to name more justices and change the court's balance. But conservative lawmakers hailed the decision, which will permit states to outlaw abortion. Arkansas Governor Asa Hutchinson.
This is a day that those in the pro-life movement has worked for over 40 years. I didn't think it would come this quickly.
Republican Representative Mary Miller of Illinois drew intense condemnation for calling the decision a victory for white life during a Saturday rally with former President Donald Trump.
President Trump, on behalf of all the MAGA patriots in America, I want to thank you for the historic victory for white life in the Supreme Court yesterday.
The comment brought cheers from the crowd, but Miller's spokesperson says she misread her prepared speech. Republican South Dakota Governor Kristi Noem said she wants to ban telemedicine with providers who might prescribe abortion through pills.
We've already had a bill passed that said on telemedicine abortions that we don't believe it should be available because it is a dangerous situation for those individuals.
A new poll finds more than half of Americans say overturning Roe is a step backward. 31% called it a step forward. At the White House Saturday, President Biden signed into law the most significant gun control bill to pass Congress in 30 years.
Their message to us was do something. I don't know how many times we heard that. Just do something. For God's sake, just do something. Well, today, we did.
14 Republicans voted with Democrats to support it. I'm Nadia Ramlagan for Pacifica Network and Public News Service. Find our 8 trust indicators to support transparency and accuracy at publicnewsservice.org.
I'm Tom Roof from Wave Farm with the Daily Radio News. John Brodkin reports at Ars Technica that after the Supreme Court let states do away with abortions last week, Democratic Senators Ron Wyden, Elizabeth Warren, Cory Booker, and Sarah Jacobs sent a letter to the Federal Trade Commission Chair, Lina Khan, asking, quote, to investigate Apple and Google for engaging in unfair and deceptive practices by enabling the collection and sale of hundreds of millions of mobile phone users' personal data, unquote. After the Supreme Court ruling, some are concerned that making a Google search for abortion or using a period tracker app in states where abortion is outlawed will lead to legal consequences. Quote, the FTC should investigate Apple and Google's role in transforming online advertising into an intense system of surveillance that incentivizes and facilitates the unrestrained collection and constant sale of Americans' personal data, unquote, the senators wrote. Quote, these companies have failed to inform consumers of the privacy and security dangers involved in using those products. It is beyond time to bring an end to the privacy harms forced on consumers by these companies, unquote. The senators also wrote that women, quote, seeking abortions and other reproductive health care will become particularly vulnerable to privacy harms, including through the collection and sharing of their location data, unquote. Clearly, information harvesting is part of almost any computer app in existence, even if some companies deny they sell that information. Quote, Google never sells user data, and Google Play strictly prohibits the sale of user data by developers, unquote, the company said in a statement on June 24th. But the senator's letter, sent the same day, are concerned about how companies use the public radio waves to track the public. Quote, data brokers are already selling, licensing, and sharing the location information of people that visit abortion providers to anyone with a credit card. Prosecutors in states where abortion becomes illegal will soon be able to obtain warrants for location information about anyone who has visited an abortion provider. Private actors will also be incentivized by state bounty laws to hunt down women who have obtained or are seeking an abortion by accessing location information through shady data brokers, unquote, the letter said. The Electronic Frontier Foundation pointed out in a statement June 24th that even if companies do not sell the data they harvest, it could be used against women in court. Quote, everyone deserves to have strong controls over the collection and use of information they necessarily leave behind as they go about their normal activities, like using apps, search engine queries, posting on social media, texting friends, and so on, unquote, the EFF said. Quote, but those seeking, offering, or facilitating abortion access must now assume that any data they provide online or offline could be sought by law enforcement, unquote. And a strongly worded letter won't stop a court order. Read more about this story at Ars Technica. Go to waveform.org for more radio news. Here's a collaboration with Jim O'Rourke and Elliot Sharp. The song is called Kayfabe from the 2021 album Sakuraza. That was Kayfabe, song on the 2021 album Sakuraza from Jim O'Rourke and Elliot Sharp. Next, we have an interview from
WOOC.
To learn more about this program, the Sanctuary for Independent Media, visit us online at mediasanctuary.org.
We're joined now by Bob Cohen, the Policy and Research Director of Citizen Action. And Citizen Action is also part of New York Renews. Has been quite active on the climate issue and the, I guess, landmark state law, CLCPA, on climate that was passed, I guess, 3 years ago at this point, is in the midst of soliciting comments on its draft climate plan. So Bob, what's going on with this climate draft scope and plan, and why is it important for people to be submitting comments?
Thanks for having me, Mark. So most of us who are involved in an issue are used to people like myself saying things like support this bill or that bill in the legislature. But it turns out that the climate law that you just talked about is set up in a different way, where this big body of essentially state agencies plus some public members is writing this document, this massive document. It's hundreds of pages long, called the Scoping Plan. And that scoping plan will be the basis for state agencies and the legislature, actually, to lay out the details of what this climate law should have. And the legislature did some good things, like setting a target for how fast we have to reduce the greenhouse gases that address climate change. But they said very little about how that should happen. So if you care about things like electric cars and whether we want smart growth or not, whether we should continue with fossil fuel projects and how fast we should close them down, all those kind of details, that's where you can have input through this comment process.
Now, I understand that the Climate Action Council did hold a series of public hearings in the last few months. Several hundred people in 8 or 9 different locations testified. There's already apparently been 18,000 comments submitted. I believe the end of the month of June is the deadline. How does a state agency or a Climate Action Council actually process, you know, 18,000 plus comments?
Well, of course, Mark, I'm not one of the people who'll be reading them, but I can tell you in the audience what I've heard. It's mostly state agencies who comprise this group called the Climate Action Council. They are assigning staff, we're told, to read all of them. And we have been assured, at least by one member of the Climate Action Council, I think I can mention his name, Peter Iwanowicz, who's one of the climate advocates, of environmental advocates, that he personally is going to read all of them. And the one thing I'm going to say is a lot of those comments, I think it's wonderful people are doing it, but they are electronically automated. So they're similar. So presumably they don't have to read all 18,000, because some are kind of duplicate. But that doesn't mean you shouldn't do it. You should, because given that there's so many comments coming in, it's an indication the public really cares.
Now, during the public comment period recently, one of the, I guess, flashpoints was actually perhaps the strongest or clearest recommendation by the council, and that was the state should have passed a law to ban the use of gas in new buildings. But that generated some pushback, you know, of course, respect from the fossil fuel industry, the gas industry, but also workers, unions that, you know, represent those people who are involved in installing, you know, gas hookups and stuff like that. What are some of the other, you know, key points that, you know, advocates like yourself are trying to make sure that the final plan does incorporate?
The quick answer to that, and I'm sure later we'll get into how you comment, and I'll refer people to a page that gives even more specifics. But some of the flashpoints that I think that I'm aware of is really You know, I personally think it's important to talk about state agencies and enforcement. It sounds a little bit arcane, but I don't believe that private industry in anything is going to do things unless in part they're forced to do it. So I think there's the need for timelines that are mandated by law. A lot of people, including me, are concerned that we have bans on new fossil fuel facilities, strong steps for all electric appliances and buildings, which you kind of alluded to. There's really a whole list. And I think the most important thing for people to do is, you know, use some of the tools that I'll mention and look at the topic that, you know, maybe provides you with the most passion or that you know something about, whether that's electric cars or whether that's electric appliances, no fossil fuels, and maybe either use the one-click tools that I'm about to mention or write a comment on your own on something you know about. Don't feel like you have to know about everything. Nobody does. And I would also add to every written comment you do something about your passion for the need for the state to act aggressively on climate change, because their industry is pushing back. So we, the public, have to show our support.
So let's get to the tools that are available for people who do want to submit comments. How can they do that?
So I'll try to make this briefly. I would say there are three ways to do it. The simplest and easiest way to do it is to do one of those computer-generated comments where you can use somebody else's. And there are several, but I would highly recommend NY Renews is the climate coalition that you mentioned that I'm involved with. So if you type into Google NY, not New York, Renews Scoping Plan Comments, NY Renews Scoping Plan Comments, and then you click on Submit a Public Comment - NY Renews, you will see a whole menu of different automatic comments that you can generate on various topics, such as transportation, agriculture, and forestry. You know, if you have time, click on all 12 of them. If not, click on a couple that you care about the most. The second thing you could do is use the New York State's boilerplate comment form, where you have to fill in the form, and you access that by typing in climate.ny.gov. And you'll get their portal that has, among other things, a form to submit a public comment. I think you'll see it there. And you can just type in a short comment, and that's also very easy to use. And if you want to do a longer comment, you have time or you're an expert, you have a particular concern, you can email it to them. And the email here, and I'm looking right here, is scopingplan@NYSERDA, NYSERDA.ny.gov. Once again, scopingplan@NYSERDA.ny.gov. And that's their email address, and you can type it right into right into the email, or you can do an attached file.
Now, in the 90 seconds we have left, bottom line on a lot of these plans is that it's going to cost money, and that is something that so far state lawmakers have shied away from, always pushing it down the road. How do we finance, and what's it going to cost? Do we know yet, you know, what we're talking about during this transition in 1 minute?
Well, we actually have an idea. Both New York Renews and NYSERDA have come up with different estimates, but they're both in the range of roughly about $9 billion to $15 billion a year, which means a lot of money. And I just will say that one of the big fights in the legislature starting in January has to be to get this money, because you're totally right, Mark. We can't have real climate change unless the state ponies up a lot of money. Private industry is not going to be able to do it on its own.
Right. And I know various groups are doing, some call it polluter penalties, some call it a carbon fee and dividend. Some just say sort of tax the rich, but Money is what drives politics, at least in America. So we've been talking with Bob Cohen, the policy and research director at Citizen Action. And this has been Mark Dunley for the Hudson Mohawk Magazine.
That interview was from
WOOC.
To learn more about this program, the Sanctuary for Independent Media, visit us online at mediasanctuary.org. Here is the 2021 cover of The Pogues' A Pair of Brown Eyes by Cat Power on the radio at WGXC 90.7 FM.
One summer evening, drunk to hell, stood there nearly lifeless. An old man in the corner sang where the water lilies grow. And on the jukebox, Johnny sang about a thing called love. And it's how will you kiss? And the only thing that I could see was a pair of brown eyes that was looking at me. But when we got back, labeled parts 1, 2, 3, there was no pair of brown eyes waiting for me. And I'll rove and I'll rove and I'll rove and I'll go. And I'll rove and I'll rove and I'll rove and I'll go. And I'll rove and I'll rove and I'll rove and I'll go for a pair of brown eyes. I looked at him, he looked at me. All I could do was hate him. While Ray and Philomena sang of my elusive dreaming, I saw the streams, the rolling hills, where his brown eyes were waiting. And I thought about a pair of brown eyes that waited once for me. So drunk to hell, I left the place, sometimes crawling, sometimes walking. Hungry sound came through the breeze, so I gave the walls a talking. And I heard the sound so long ago from the old canal. The birds were whistling in the trees where the wind was gently laughing. And I rolled and I rolled.
You're listening to the American Democracy Minute, keeping your government by and for the people. Tuesday, June 28th, voters in Colorado, Illinois, New York, Oklahoma, and Utah will head to the polls. Why should you vote in your state primary? Friday's U.S. Supreme Court announcement of the overturning of Roe v. Wade is one of many reasons. Voters in Colorado's U.S. Senate race can choose from two Republicans vying to unseat Democratic incumbent Michael Bennett. State representative and 2020 election denier, Representative Ron Hanks, squares off against businessman Joe O'Day. In Illinois, Governor J.B. Pritzker has six potential Republican challengers and one Democrat in the primary. Pritzker touts a balanced budget, while his challengers note excessive taxes, rising crime, and their ability to beat a Democrat. There's also a busy gubernatorial primary in New York, with two Democrats challenging Governor Kathy Hochul and four Republicans, including Rudy Giuliani's son, Andrew, and a businessman, a state assemblyman, and a former Westchester County executive. For Oklahoma Attorney General, incumbent John O'Connor and Gettner Drummond face off in the Republican primary, with O'Connor running as the Trump candidate and Gettner, who supports Trump but promises to be a more independent voice. Finally, to Utah, where U.S. Senator Mike Lee will be tested by two Republican challengers after emails surfaced about his active efforts to overturn the 2020 election. Links to voting guides in all these states are at our website, AmericanDemocracyMinute.org. Granny D said, democracy isn't something we have, it's something